Gracious God, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth. Make us hungry for your heavenly bread. Startle us with your truth and open our hearts and minds to your incomprehensible love. Beyond any human voice, may we hear your voice. Amen. Please be seated. As you come to worship today, what are you praying for Christ Church Anglican? We're coming off a year of pandemic, turmoil, change, transition in our own church family. What are you praying for Christ Church at this critical transitional time? What are you praying? I would like to connect what we might be praying for this church that we love. I would like to connect that to what it is that we observe and celebrate today, and that is the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ to the right hand of the Father. One of the reasons why I am an Anglican is because we observe this day. Surely one of the most important days in the history of heaven and earth is that day that the crucified, resurrected Lord Jesus ascended to the right hand of all authority and power. That is something to celebrate. And how does that relate to what we might be praying for Christ Church? Would you please take your service bulletin for a moment and turn to that second reading, which is Paul's prayer for the Ephesian church in Ephesians chapter 1. Please look with me to the last sentence of that prayer. What I believe is one of the most startling, amazing statements in all of Scripture. And he, God, has put all things under Christ's feet and has made him the head over all things. Finish it for me. For the church. Isn't it amazing? The ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ proves the truth of his words that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. It is the argument of the book of Hebrews that Jesus was raised from the dead not to return to earth, but Jesus was raised from the dead in order to ascend into heaven for you and me. Here Paul is praying for the Ephesian Christians, and I believe by extension he is praying for us here at Christ Church today. As the Ephesian community is facing an uncertain future that will mean great trial and persecution, in Acts chapter 20, in the Apostle Paul's farewell to the Ephesian leaders, he warns them that savage wolves will come in, not sparing the flock. Dangerous days lie ahead for the Ephesian Christians. And I want to suggest to all of us here today that Paul's prayer for the Ephesians is a wonderful example, a wonderful model for us to be praying for our church at this time. And in this prayer, Paul is praying, I don't know if you notice it there, he is praying that the eyes of their hearts might be enlightened. Did you know that your heart has eyes? Your heart can know things that the mind cannot know. And he is praying that the eyes of their heart might be enlightened in order to see what? in order to see that the power that raised the mangled body of our Lord Jesus Christ from death and raised him, ascended him, exalted him to that place of all authority and power in the universe, he says that power is at work in you. That power is at work within us. And how we need to be praying in the days ahead that God will open the eyes of our hearts that we might see this. As you read through Paul's prayer, you will notice his repeated use of the word power. He talks about the working of God's great power that is in them. He talks about the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe. And I think this is very much a prayer for us to be praying that God would open the eyes of our hearts. With the invention of the steam engine, they needed a way to measure, to calculate, to express the power of a steam engine. And what did they come up with? Horsepower. That this steam engine, it is the equivalent to 50 draft horses working. The Apostle Paul, as he is seeking to measure, if you will, to quantify, to express the power that is at work in you and me, he says it is the power that raised Jesus from the dead and ascended him, enthroned him at the place of all authority, dominion, and power above every name that is named. The power at work within us. He prays for the Ephesians, and we pray for us. Lord Acton is famously remembered for that quote, that power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. With deference to Lord Acton, I think he was wrong. He was half right. He was half right in saying that power tends to corrupt. Just look at the news. Look at the world around us. We fear power. Very early in our lives, we learn to fear power. As power is used against us, as power is used over us. Lord Acton was right in as far as he went in that power tends to corrupt, but it's the last part he was wrong. He was wrong when he said absolute power corrupts absolutely. Because the only person who possesses absolute power is our Lord Jesus Christ, who uses it for you and me. We experience power against us. We experience power over us. Jesus uses power for us to empower us. Jesus does not coerce us. He does not compel us. But Jesus empowers us to new life. You see, the way Jesus does anything is the way Jesus does everything. The way he was humbly born in a manger for us. The way he hung from a cross praying for his tormentors for us is also the way that our Lord Jesus Christ ascends to the place of glory where he is ruler over all. So the prayer of Ephesians 1, I believe, is a prayer not only for the Ephesians who face the difficult future. It's a prayer for us today. That God might open the eyes of our hearts to see, to believe, to trust the immeasurable power that raised Jesus from the dead and enthroned him at the place of all authority and power. That power is in us. I want to take a little bit of turn. Where do we look for pardon me. Where do we look for God's power to be released? Where do we look for the display of God's power in our world? Paul takes us up in his whole letter to the letter of 2 Corinthians, where he says that God's power is perfected in weakness. Paul says, when I am weak, then I am strong in the power of God. And Paul says that we believers, we Christians, we're like earthen vessels, we're like ordinary clay pots. Why? In order that the extraordinary greatness of the power may be seen to be from God and not from us. So let us embrace our weakness. Let us embrace our struggles. Let us embrace our infirmities in order that we might experience that incredible, immeasurable greatness of the power of Jesus in us. Paul is always quick to go from prayer to doxology. And I want to take you over just a couple chapters in Ephesians 3 to his wonderful doxology. Now to him who by the power that is at work within us is able to do exceedingly above all that we would ask or imagine. We pray too small. Now to him who by the power that is at work within us is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church. Isn't that amazing? To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, because we're one. He's the head. We're the body. To him be glory in Christ Church and in our Lord Jesus Christ unto the ages of the ages. O Lord, open the eyes of our hearts that we might see, that we might believe, that we might be bold. Amen.